This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness coming to you today from Branson, Missouri, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We've been looking at Jerusalem. The way the Jews say it is Yerushalayim, the city of the living God. In all the world there is a land, that's Israel. In all that land there is a city, that's Yerushalayim. And in that city there is a hill, Mount Moriah. And on that hill there is a rock. That rock is where Abraham offered up Isaac. That rock is where the holy temple stood. And that rock is where the holy temple, the millennium, all through the millennial reign of Christ, a temple will stand there as is described by Ezekiel from chapter 40 on. Incidentally, there's so much in that book of Ezekiel. And we're going to be studying it in August in a special school of eschatology that I will be teaching. We start out in the morning about 9 o'clock. We don't finish until about 5. We'll give you a lunch break. But we want you, I want you, because Jerusalem is the touchstone of everything right now, and because Ezekiel's such a book, we're going to look at all the prophets. We're actually looking at the last days, but Ezekiel, he's the one that described so many things that are happening, will happen, war with Russia and Iran. But he described the temple that would be built there again. This is the spot on earth that is the apple of God's eye. This is the spot on earth that so much of the world news is twirling around right now as people are trying to decide how to divide Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem so important? Because it's important to God. Satan knows it. Therefore, it's important to him. And you and I need to know it too and stay on the Lord's side. We talked about Jerusalem, how it was pointed out to be a place, the place. Hamakom is how it's translated, how it is originally in Hebrew. Hamakom, the place. Now, we studied how that Moses said that they would have a place where they would come up to God, but it wasn't revealed until the time of David, how it was revealed to David. And then David knew that they were to build the house, the original temple right there. But that his hands had shed blood. And so his son Solomon had to build the house. It comes the day that the house is finished. Now, you know, Moses built a tabernacle. There came a day it was finished. It was filled with the glory. Now, this is the temple on that rock, on that hill in Jerusalem, the original one. It's called Solomon's temple. The first temple, some call it. The holy temple. The holy house. And so it was builded. And it came over to be like October. And it came the time for the Feast of Tabernacles. And Solomon has got all the elders of Israel gathered out there. All the people of Israel are gathered. 4,500 priests dressed in white are gathered. The Levite, the head singer, he has a big white handkerchief. He waves that and he begins to sing. And what he begins to sing and to chant is recorded for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, 4,500, and did not wait by course. Also the Levites, the singers, all of them of Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, with all their sons, their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were one. There's a great deal that oneness, unity, has to do with the manifestation of the glory. And they became one sound. To make one sound, the Bible says, the singers and the trumpeters and the musicians, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, in making hallelujah. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of the Lord and praised the Lord, hallelujah, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And they would have done it antiphonally. The head Levite singer would have said, for he is good. And they would have said, and his mercy endureth forever. For he is good. For he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. And his mercy endureth forever. They chanted it. I don't know the exact tune, but they would have sung it. And when they said that, and they became this one sound, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I tell you, something happens. I remember Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, every time he would start a service, he would say, "Now everybody say it, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever." And then Brother Hagin would say, "Say it again, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Say it again, because he was looking, I know him, he was looking to reach a place of unity. And that's what they did. Only they would have said in Hebrew, because they're Jews, remember, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, ki tov, ki tov, ki leolam chasto, ki leolam chasto, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they said that and they became one sound, the house, the first temple, was filled with a cloud, even the house of Jehovah, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. That means they fell. People wonder about falling under the power. When the presence of God is manifested in such a way and it meets humanity, one of the forces has to give. And when the Shekinah glory was in such presence, the priest fell under the power. Sometimes in a meeting, people fall under the manifest presence of God. The house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The Shekinah glory. The glory of the Lord, it comes from a Hebrew root word. Its word is kavod. It comes from the root word of kavod, which means heavy. Kavod, glory, means heavy with everything good. Splendor, copiousness, brilliance. Everything good manifested in his glory. In the Bible, when you see the word glory, you always see that they could see it. There was some result. Now, this wasn't all God there is, but it was all they could stand. And he manifested right there over the Holy of Holies in the place, Hamakom. That's why Jerusalem is holy. For more than 1,000 years, there was a temple there. The first temple first, and then the second temple. This Shekinah glory was there for hundreds of years. It's holy. It's God's. He gave it to the Jews. But on that day, when they're dedicating the temple, chapter 6, then said Solomon, "The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built an house of habitation for thee and a place for your dwelling forever." And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood, and he said, "Blessed be the God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spoke with his mouth to my father David. Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name should be there. Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people." I have chosen Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem important? Why can we not have anything to do with the division of it? Because God chose it to put his name there. The Lord said to David, verse 8, my father, Solomon's talking, "For as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart." And so that first temple was built, a house for his name. Now remember that we're looking at a weeks-long ceremony here, because it was dedicated in the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles goes 7 days plus one. It's a total of 8 days. During this time, The Jews make sacrifices. They sacrifice 70 bulls for the nations. There were 70 original nations. And the Jews actually, during the time of Sukkot, of Tabernacles, they offered up sacrifices for the nations and stood in the gap for them. Now we're going to see that Solomon prayed a great prayer that is recorded. And then it says in chapter 7, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." Bless the Lord. Now this feast lasts 7 days. And then there comes the night that the Lord appears. Chapter 7 and verse 12. "The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." This is Hamakom. This is the place. These things are so important in these last days. I wish President Bush knew them. I wish the United Nations knew them. I wish the European Union knew it. I wish the Prime Minister of Israel would admit it. But you can know it. You should know it. You must know it. And so we're offering some things for you to know this. We have a book by Dr. Lester Sumrall. He knew about these things. He's gone on to be with the Lord sometime before. But he wrote a book, Jerusalem, Where Empires Die. Every major empire died. It was strong and then it died because of what it did to Jerusalem. He goes through all of them and he asks the question, will America die at Jerusalem? And so we're offering this book for $5 plus shipping, 125-page book. You'll be glad you ordered it. We're also offering my tape series, which is Hamakom, The Place. I go into detail, take some time to do it, several CDs, and I think it is 2 90-minute cassettes. You can have either one you want for $5 $10 plus shipping. The book's $5. These tapes and cassettes are $10. CDs. You can get these from Billy Brim Ministries, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or you can call us at 1-800-972-3447. Or go online, billybrim.org, O-R-G. And this is Billy Brim saying, I trust you can be with us tomorrow. Be with us for the events we've got coming up. Youth meeting, go online, see what all we've got. I especially want you at the Eschatology School. Bless the Lord. That's going to be in August, and we're going to in August. You know, I just read the news that they're expecting there might even be a war in Israel in August. They're picking August for a date. And so it's going to be quite a time to be having an Eschatology School. Call us at those same numbers and enroll, and we will see you there. Trusting we'll see you there. Trusting to see your kids at the youth meeting. Trusting to see you in Israel in September. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.